Welcome to Walking with God, Pat Barry and Jeff Quinto's podcast, where Pat and Jeff talk about their walk with Christ.
My name is Jeff Quinto.
And my name is Pat Barry. Occasionally, Jeff and I get together and talk about our walk with Jesus Christ, and we discuss different topics. And this week, we're going to be talking about whoever is not against us is for us. Mark 9, 38 through 41. Teacher, said John, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop, because he was not one of us. Don't stop him, Jesus said, for no one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me. For whoever is not against us is for us. Truly I tell you, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to the Messiah will certainly not lose their reward. Wow.
Wow is right. There's a lot there.
There is a lot there. It's such a small, it's a small paragraph, but there's a lot there.
Yeah. And it speaks to the human condition. You see, we all form ourselves into tribes, don't we? We're in tribes. I'm this and you're that.
Yep.
And we're always judging each other based on who we perceive ourselves to be and who would be like us. And it shows up no more clearly than in denominations in the Christian faith. Now, you know, the church that Jesus gave us was a church. It was a universal church. When we hear the word Catholic church, that means Catholic with a small c. That is a universal church, the universal church, one Jesus Christ, one belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, we're separated into these denominations, and we don't much like each other.
Right. Isn't that amazing? Because, you know, I know, Jeff, you go to that church over there, but my church is the real church. Now, the way I was raised, that wasn't actually put out there, but that was kind of what I thought. And I think a lot of people still think that way, is sort of a knee-jerk reaction, as you said. But when you think about it, how ridiculous is that?
Yeah, it is ridiculous. And Jesus speaks exactly that. This is what I love about when you look at Scripture and you read what came from Jesus' mouth, not what people interpreted it as, but what did he actually say? And here it is. He said it right there. Whoever is not against us is for us. So he's saying that these people that are committing may not be the word, but that are performing miracles in his name, that's okay. And it doesn't have to be his exact disciples. It can be other people. It's the action that's important. You know, we find that so much that we were talking earlier about the Catholics. You grew up Catholic, and that had a belief system that said that we've got it, we know it, the way we believe is the only way to believe. And these Lutherans, on the other hand, they're into something different. But you know, the Lutherans are saying, well, the Catholics, you know, the Catholics have got it wrong, as do the Presbyterians, as do the Baptists, as do all these people. And, you know, we fall for that, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
I've fallen for it plenty of times. Things that I think that are peculiar about one denomination or another, I'm against it. I'm like, oh, well, they've got that wrong. And there's certain things that I believe even strongly that a given denomination might have different than what we're told to do in Scripture. But the basic idea of it, if the basic idea is centered on Jesus Christ, then they're in the right place.
There you go. And I think that is the huge, huge key. You and I have talked about different things. I know one of the things about prosperity gospel, things like that we have some serious disagreements with, but they don't center their belief on Jesus Christ being the center of your life. And that's what it is. Where do you find your identity? It goes back to where do you find your identity? And this is a difficult thing, no matter who you are, no matter what denomination you go to. You know what? Your identity shouldn't be in what you do as far as making a living, or that you're the great mom or a great dad or a great salesperson or a great leader here or there. It should be centered in the fact that you are a child of the Most High God and you are a follower of Jesus Christ. That should be number one. Everything else kind of falls by the wayside, but if that is the belief that we have in most denominations, and either stated or unstated Christian churches, that is the belief, then I think we should start to work together to realize we have way more in common than not.
Yeah, it's really the truth, but we get so hung up. You know, I just returned from convention in Milwaukee. Milwaukee in February. It's not like
lucky you.
I was already in cold weather. Why would I go to someplace that's even colder or equally as cold? But I went to this conference. I go every year. It's called ALDE, which stands for Association of Lutheran Development Executives. And it's a faith and fundraising conference. And it included for the first time this year a partner called the Catholic Development Council.
Oh.
So roughly a third of the people at the conference were Catholics. And there were nuns walking around and priests walking around. Holy smokes, we're not in Kansas anymore. But it was wonderful. It was wonderful because we could see that we had so much in common. The things that we are each trying to do to build up various ministries, to raise money for various ministries, is common between us. So there's more that is the same between us than is different. And we get so hung up on what's different. I think we do that in so many ways, this being an example of that. And what does Jesus say about it? He said, "Forever is not against us, is for us." So simple, but we have trouble with that because we're always trying to show that we're better, that our way is the only way. And, it just isn't true. And you look at, I had another experience in Milwaukee. I was on the elevator with these three young men, and they were kind of punching each other and having some fun. Nothing bad, certainly. And they had their little badges that identify that they were Mormon missionaries. Now, I don't claim to be an expert in the Mormon church or their belief system, but I know that it is different than ours.
Yep.
That it includes, I believe, a centering on Jesus Christ and then takes it to a different place. The point is that when we look at Mormons, they seem so different from us, but look at the fruit of their lives. I mean, you look at the fruit of their lives and you see that they're wonderful family people, they're wonderful neighbors, they're good to have in a community. This fruit that they produce is good fruit, and that's a test. I think Jesus would look upon that part of it and say, you know, this is good. And we, however, look at them and go, they're different. They're outsiders. They don't believe what we believe. It's different. I think we need to, as Pat, as you just said, we need to look at people and encourage them to have Jesus as the center of their life and let the Holy Spirit work on them. Let the Holy Spirit work on their hearts, and it'll be fine.
I think what came prior to this were the disciples talking about who was the greatest amongst them. And that's when Jesus put the child, little child, in the middle of them and said, hey, if you want to become great, you need to become like a child. And with what you're saying, who is the greatest amongst us? It doesn't, you know what? It doesn't matter. Human beings, we don't matter. None, they're righteous. No, not one. So let's get the focus off ourselves and put it on Jesus, and we will be much better off in getting along with each other, not being so territorial. And it's just like, this is a great example here because you had the disciples and it was someone, obviously they didn't know, but who knew Jesus and was going about doing good things, but again, wasn't, you know, one of the club, so to speak. Human nature is human nature, whether it's 2,000 years ago or right now, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, it's one of the reasons that I love the Bethel series so much is that we don't get hung up on these denominational issues. We're in 47 plus denominations that one to another believe some very different things. But the centerpiece of those denominations is understanding the Bible as authoritative in all matters of life and faith. And that alone puts us together. And these other things are small things. You know, when I was preparing for this, I thought I would mention a few things that I find not quite right in other denominations. And the more I've thought about it, meditated on it, I realize I'm being like everybody else. I'm trying to talk people out of doing exactly what I was about to do, about talking about the differences. Because you know what? The things that are in common between us are so much more important and so broader. And these little things on the outside, these things on the periphery that make us different, that we're so focused on, are taking our eye off what's important, taking our eye off the ball, if you will.
And that is human nature, unfortunately. But yeah, I think if we get rid of the peripheral things, life gets easier too. You know, witnessing gets easier. Everything gets easier because you're centered on Christ rather than being centered on Well, should we have an adult baptism or an infant baptism? Do we celebrate, the meal at every week, or is it once a month? Do you have to go and have a confessional, which I know the Catholics do. They believe in a confessional to a priest. Do you need to do that? There are so many things that really don't matter a whole lot. If you know the guy who made the universe. I don't know how, I know that that's pretty big, but it's true. You know what? I don't need to know everything. What exactly is correct if I know the guy who made everything?
Yeah.
I just count on him to cover me and his grace and getting through, ultimately to have salvation through him. And you know what? Everything else, I trust everything else is going to flow from there. And everything else, okay, we can talk about it. It might be fun, but it doesn't matter. A hill of beans.
It doesn't matter at all. And you know, I just am positive that when you get to heaven, there's not going to be a debate going on whether you would have infant baptism or not.
Right.
If you go up to heaven and you look at somebody and you try to get in a discussion with them about it, they're going to look at you with glazed over eyes and walk away because it does not make any difference. It makes a difference here because we're so set on proving ourselves to be right and in fairness, trying to do what we believe to be the right thing.
Yes.
But we overlook the most important thing. We're describing each of the trees, but we missed the forest.
Yeah.
And this is what we do. And unfortunately, it's part of the human condition and it is a fact, but I think we have to take a step back and look at this and realize that you look at what Jesus cared about. And you realize that he didn't care about lots of silly little things that we seem to care about. He cared about people's hearts.
Yep.
He cared about all kinds of people's hearts, not just the people that were like him, people that were different than him. He cared about them. He cared about every part of God's creation. And that's what we should care about, every part of God's creation, looking at it as Jesus would have looked at it.
He cared about individuals. And to your point, Jeff, he cared about hearts. He sees our hearts. He knows our hearts. He wants to know you. If you don't know him yet, no time like the present. Get to know Jesus Christ. Invite him into your life. Take him as your savior. Take him as your guide. It's not always going to be easy. Trust me, it's not always going to be easy. In fact, sometimes life gets a little more difficult because I think you maybe become more aware of the things that your shortcomings. But just know that you are covered by grace. You are a child of God, and you will have eternal salvation if you get to know Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's the truth. It's so simple, isn't it? It sounds so simple, so hard to live. Hard to live because we put up roadblocks, not because it's actually hard. It's only hard because we put up these unnatural roadblocks we want to fit in the culture, we want to fit into the world, and at the same time, we want to honor and have our lives devoted to Jesus Christ. Really, we should start with that. We should figure that our lives should be completely devoted to Jesus Christ, and everything else will fall away in a good place, in a good way from that. And we'll stop doing these things that are so counterproductive when we place ourselves in one category and other people in another category. You know, it relates not just to religion, it relates to race, it relates to all kinds of things that we look at and we profile people in ways. You know, one of the things that was really helpful to me as my Christian journey was the point at which I made the observation and the realization that God created all things good and God created everyone. And so his image is on their hearts. And so when I look at people now, when I'm at my best, I look at someone and I think that's an image bearer of the living God. And not categorizing them as being tall or short or whatever, categorizing them in the most important category of all, they're image bearers of the living God. And that's what we're meant to look at people and see. Not to look at these superficial things that don't make any difference anyway. And not to get hung up on these rule-based things that get us away from what's most important. The most important thing is that Jesus Christ is our Savior. Jesus Christ is, in fact, the way, the truth, and the life. He is all of that. It's him. And when we separate ourselves from other people by categorizing them as one thing and us as another, we move away from the most important things. And so these differences in denominations, I don't think they're that actually much. In an important way, they're very similar. And they have these odd little differences that one to another, and we choose to focus on these odd little differences, but it's not what's important. What's important is following the Lord Jesus Christ.
I couldn't have said it better myself. I'm listening to it. That's fantastic. You got it.
Well, yeah, I'm, it's easy when it's the truth. When you speak the truth, it's an easy thing.
You know, I every once in a while I will listen to various pastors. One of them was Greg Laurie out of California, and he worked with Billy Graham towards the end of his ministry. And he says, I remember Billy was doing a speech, and he got in the car with him, and he said, "Hey, well, you know, that was really good what you said tonight." And he says, "It's just the gospel."
No big deal.
But you know, and Greg, he says, you know, as I was thinking about it, I thought, yeah, it was the gospel. It's the gospel. Uh-huh. So to your point, when it's the truth, when it's the gospel, it makes your job easier, and we make things more complicated than we should. It's the gospel.
Absolutely. It's the clear words of Jesus Christ. As you read the Bible, Jesus speaks clearly. If you start off, if you haven't read the Bible, read the Gospels, the four Gospels. There are four and only four, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read those and read what Jesus says. Read what he thinks is important. He talks about things that he thinks are important. Now, he also speaks in parables, and sometimes people are confused by parables. Think of a parable as if you're watching a home movie. You're watching a home movie. You're watching just normal people reacting in unusual ways, in ways that are provocative. That's what the parables are. They're meant to show us something in a very different and unique way. And Jesus tells them, and we remember them. But think of them as like a home movie. You're looking at Jesus describing something that's happening in a given house. It's a movie of what's happening in a given place or a given situation. And look at what he cares about. And he cares about people's hearts. He cares about their hearts. He is there for them. And we say, as we are told in John, as I quoted a moment ago, this such an important verse. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And then it goes on to a second part that says, no one comes to the Father except through me. So there you have it in John. Jesus is in fact the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through him. And we as Christians are meant to bring people to redemption, to bring people to the gospel. We're meant to explain the gospel in however simple way. We explain the gospel by our actions. We explain the gospel by our words and by our life. And we're meant to do that. And some number of people will look at us living out the gospel and they'll say, you know, I want what they have. I'd like to see what's up. And that will bring people to Christ. And that will be important because we are blessed, as we learn from Genesis 12, 1 through 3, we are blessed to be a blessing. We're meant to be a blessing in the world, you and I. We are richly blessed, and we are meant to share that blessing with the world. And this is God's rescue plan for humanity, because through us, all the people of the earth, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And so that's what we're meant to do. It's simple, but it's hard for us to do, isn't it?
It is. It's a gift, but it's perfect in its simplicity. And if you are a person who hasn't read the Gospels, maybe you go to church a lot, maybe you don't go to church very much at all, but you haven't read the Gospels, I would say read it and open up your heart. Ask God to show you, and chances are you're going to start seeing things that are maybe different than you perceived, and in a good way. But don't be shocked when you start seeing things that are, I didn't know that, just about how Jesus deals with people and reflecting on how we deal with each other. It's going to be a very interesting time in your life. If you've never done that before, like Jeff, I would strongly encourage you to do that. And I think you'll start to see things differently.
Yeah, it's the truth, isn't it? It's an easy thing to do. You know, Pat and I started this whole process of doing these podcasts about a year and a half ago. And we started it on a premise that we both believe strongly in. And it's actually a quote from C.S. Lewis. And it says, Christianity, if false, is of no importance, and if true, is of infinite importance. The only thing it cannot be is moderately important. And that's really a revelation that was for Pat and I, that the fact is that if Christianity is false, who cares? It doesn't mean anything. But what if it's true? If it's true, it is of infinite importance. It's worth basing your entire life on. The one thing that is not worthy is thinking of Christianity as moderately important. It either is not important at all or it's infinitely important. And if you decide that it is true, it is infinitely important, I ask you to join us in living your life based on the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we close now in prayer, Lord, will you come upon everyone listening to this? Will you come upon them and help them to understand you and to come toward you and to come and become the kind of people that Jesus wanted us to be, and that is celebrating our Christianity and spreading that to the world, spreading it to the world and to each other by our words and by our deeds. Lord, will you help us to do that, and will you help us to become closer to you through all this in Jesus' holy and mighty, mighty name. Amen.
Amen.